Hi, welcome to the Feng Shui Your Life podcast. I'm your host, Tisha Morris. Join me in this beautiful space where spirituality meets design. From informative Feng Shui tips to inspiring design ideas to mind-blowing cosmic concepts. It's all here. Stay tuned. Hi, everyone. This is Tisha. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am really, really excited to have my guest on today, Kelly Clifford Wiltness. She is the founder of mysoulfulhome.com, which really she had me at her URL. Anyone who talks about the soul and the home in one sentence has my heart. I met Kelly a while back. She had me as a guest on her fabulous blog as a guest, and I got to meet her in person, and it was one of those moments when you're sitting across from and seeing yourself, and then really just two nerdy attorneys who have an affinity for homes. And so thank you so much for coming on the show today, Kelly.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. So I can't wait to talk to everybody about what we love and delve into the home.
Awesome. So what does it feel like to have a home that's more famous than you?
Yeah. Well, that's kind of interesting. It definitely it feels good to have a home that's a lot older than me. our newest home is very old. We purchased it about 7 months ago, and it was built in 1886. And it has been, as they say, a labor of love from way before we even started, moving pipes and painting and all of that. I stumbled upon the house about a year and 8 months before we purchased it. And I knew from the minute I walked in the entry that this house had to be mine, or ours, I should say. And it's been a really amazing experience all the way around. Personal growth, pushing design ideas, and bringing back what I'm calling my hashtag, bringing back an American beauty, because this is a historic home on the National Register. And there was a lovely old man who lived here, and he loved the house in his special way, but with age and funds running low, and now our funds are running low too, but I see what happens when you're in an old house. He wasn't able to keep the house up the way an old house needs to be taken care of. So we are endeavoring to bring back this American beauty one day at a time.
That's awesome. So it's a Victorian, you call it a Victorian farmhouse, is that correct?
Yeah, but the research that I've done, it was built more as a folk Victorian, and so it's not quite as froofy as a Victorian that you might conjure in your mind, the stereotypical Victorian, although as the gentleman who lived here wanted it to be more of a doily and gingerbready Victorian. So we actually have some real old photographs of the house, and we're trying to bring it back and chip away a little bit of the froofiness that he had added here and there, fretwork that just didn't seem like it was right, came down. And we have to work with the city as far as any changes that we make to the front of the house, the street view. And they've been really a pleasure to work with and easy to deal with as far as sort of bringing the house back to what it should have, well, what it did look like and what it should look like now.
Wow, that's really amazing, and it really goes to show of what good karma you are having in the process to have good luck with the bureaucracy.
I know it's quite interesting. I mean, as we go on here in our conversation, I'm sure I will be telling you more about what the house was like when we moved in, and I shared a little bit of that with you the day that we first met. The man who lived here was definitely a hoarder of Olympic proportions. I've never seen anything like that. I've never seen those shows, but that word sort of gets tossed around in regular conversations now. The hoarder, there was, I guess, a hoarder show, whatnot, but I had never seen anything like that in action. And it took 6 months before he would show us the garage, the inside of the garage, which was actually a 7-car style barn that he built in the 70s to go along with the house. And when he pulled back that door, when I said, we can't make an offer on this house until we see what's going on in there, it was floor to ceiling, rusty nails, screws, cars. There were 7 cars in pieces. There were all kinds of work equipment and mechanics equipment. There was a grease pit filled with things, extra tires, carburetors, old furniture, you name it. I mean, I wish we could show on the podcast some of the pictures that I have, because words cannot describe what it was like.
Wow.
And the inside of the house did not reveal what was going on. So it was kind of his secret stash out there. So it definitely needed to exercise all of that energy, if you will. Now I'm delving more into Tisha's language as far as the home, but correct me if I'm wrong there, but we needed to get rid of that stuff and all the negative energy that went along with that. But he wouldn't hire any movers, so he moved every single rusty nail and screw and car part and half-used oil can in his broken-down van to Lake Tahoe and put it in storage units along the way. So it was a really interesting thing to watch and try not to get frustrated by and try to have patience and try to have understanding for somebody who was just really having a hard time letting go of the house in general and all those little things. It meant something, but it all amounted to not wanting to really leave the house. But he needed to, and it was time, and he knew that. But it took a long time.
Yeah,
and that was when I got here. We hit the ground running because we had all this pent up energy and ready to roll.
Right.
So I guess that was good.
Right. Well, actually, him moving it himself, actually, is probably gonna, even though it took a lot longer, is gonna pay off in the long run, because he was actually doing the process that he needed to take of removing his energy, literally removing his energy from the space, as opposed to having a movers. So it's very interesting.
That is so interesting. That is. I never really considered it that way. I see what you're saying. Yes, he did. And he was, I guess he was, you know, ultimately at the end, I think he was really tired from doing it. I mean, it was a daunting task, to say the least. And I would come over occasionally and bring him a batch of cookies or offer to help. And one day I came over and I was all set to help and ready, and he had one bookshelf that we were going to go through, and he'd take a book off and he'd go, well, I'm going to read this. Yeah. Well, I'm going to reread this and put it back on the shelf. And I think he gave me like 2 pamphlets on Victorian homes to leave with. He kept the rest. So we never really cleaned anything out that day. But yeah, it was not your normal real estate transaction in any sense of the word.
Well, I've toyed with the idea of writing this book or a blog article called Keys, Contracts, and Karma, because I'm a big believer in there's a unique karma that we have in real estate transactions between the former owners and the future owners. When you exchange the contracts, there's inherently a soul contract involved. And your story epitomizes that. And I love that. Even though I'm sure he was a little bit of a difficult kind of guy, and yet I'm sure had some sweetness to him, but you were able to maintain such a positive relationship with him.
It was trying, and I tried, and I think we did. And I think now he's a little mad. I think he's a little mad that we're here and he's not, but he's a good sport about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Aww.
But he has another home, and don't any of your listeners be worried about him. He has another lovely but much smaller home, so he can't fit all his stuff in it. But don't worry, he has storage units all along the way from here to Lake Tahoe. So he's happily ensconced there, I don't know, going through his old magazines or something. Oh, goodness.
Well, when I met Kelly, it brought back what brought me into the work of feng shui was actually a home that I renovated, and not nearly to the extent that you have. And it actually became the the inspiration between my book, Mind, Body, Home, and realizing as you are renovating your home, you're renovating yourself as well. And like you, when I met that house, it was like love at first sight, even though it was like, it is in horrible condition. And so I know you had a similar experience when you first saw this house. Were you looking to move, or were you looking for a house, or tell me how it kind of fell into your lap?
No, not really. Well, you know, being a real home enthusiast as I am, and a DIYer, and having had my blog for about, I don't know, 2 some odd years, I had already pre-blogged, done pretty much everything we could have done in our former home, from converting sort of that, you know, dead area where the dormers come down into secret play rooms and clubhouses for my daughters, to, you know, redoing insides of closets, and, you know, changing the garage from, initially it was a ballet studio for the girls when they were into that, when they were like 5 and 7, then it was a craft room, then it was something else. So, you know, my husband just kept saying, oh, well, you know, at some point, this isn't making any more economic sense, you know, so maybe we need to look for a project that, you know, we're not just changing the color and the purpose of the room. So that got me thinking, and I can't drive past an open house without wanting to go in. I am the ultimate tire kicker. I just like to look at, I like to see how people live. I like to get ideas. I like to think how I would do it a little bit differently, or grab a great idea and use it in my own house. So, you know, I would always look around a little bit, but, I was at some sort of volunteer function, and a friend of mine who's a real estate agent was there. We ended up talking for a little bit, and I said, you know what, when you travel, when you're doing, you know, looking in the caravans and whatnot of the real estate agents, this is what I'd be interested in. Something on the older end and a project, you know. And she said, oh, I know, you want a value add, which I guess in real estate terms means, you know, you want to buy sort of something that's a little rundown in a good location and bring it back. Well, you know, I think we've got the ultimate value add here. She nailed it in about 8 days, and I was talking like maybe a year, maybe two, you know, just so you know, I would never thought anything remotely in our, you know, because we were really looking not to spend a whole lot of money in our price range and in the location we wanted to be, and with those parameters would come up, you know, for quite some time. So literally, I think I had talked to her on a Tuesday, and the next Thursday she was out on Realtor Caravan, and she sent me a text. Okay, it's not for everyone, but I think it's for you. You've got to see this house. So I came running over, you know, in sort of in between errands, thinking, yeah, you know, I'm not ready to move. You know, this is not going to happen. And I walked in the door, and even though it looked the way it did, I was sold. There was just something about the house. Not only did I know I wanted to be there, I kind of knew I was going to be there. It was really strange in a sense. I guess some, you know, somehow when you meet someone, you just connect with them. It was an instant connection.
Yep.
So, yes, and always, then we took it from there. And
yeah, I always analogize homes with relationships, and even like when you're, I just actually moved into a new place myself and been going in that process. It's like dating. It's like you meet them the first time and you see how it feels. And then if you want to ask them out again, you go and see it again. But and there's other spaces. It's just like love at first sight. And, you know, you feel like you've known them, the house, forever. So I totally
right. And even taking that a little bit further, you know what they say, you know, about, you know, you can't change anyone. Well, you can change a house to a certain extent, and I think you can change people to a certain extent, but not the core, right? You can't change the location. You can't change if you want to craftsman it and you end up buying a ranch. You know, you know that's going to be hard to change. So I think your analogy is very good, and I think it carries through on sort of a lot of deep levels. And if you have to keep trying so hard to talk yourself into it, it's not the right house.
Yes.
Just like it's not the right person.
Yes. Excellent advice. So speaking of the house being this relationship, one of the things that I teach my students in my certification course is really seeing the home as a soul, because it really is a living body. And when you are making changes, whether it's renovations or add-ons or knocking down walls, really getting the home's permission. And so I have a feeling you do that.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I've never thought about it in the perspective of actually getting the home's permission. What I've always thought about is you sort of have to let the house tell you, which I guess is a very similar thing. You and I do have a lot in common. I think you have to sort of let the house tell you what sort of should happen. And that sounds like woo-hoo-wee, but it's really not, sometimes that means having to live in the house for 6 months or so without doing anything, just to see how the house lives and how you live in the house and how your family lives in the house. Cause when you're laying in bed at night and you think, wow, if I bang that wall down and make a great room, that's going to be fabulous, but maybe that's not right for the house. And maybe that's really not even right for your family. So we had, this extended courtship with the house, if you will, while he was moving out and all the back and forth that entailed. So I had a lot of opportunities, which is very unusual, to come over and spend time in the house, whether it was, offering to help or I had a lot of inspections, the house being as old as it is, we needed to look at a lot of different things. So I, unlike the normal buyer, had a lot of time here to think about, what would be right and sort of get a good feel for the house. So I would suggest anybody doing any kind of major renovation in the house is to take pause. Don't run in the first day and start, knocking down things or, spend a lot of money on plans to extend a room when maybe you don't know if even that room is going to be the family room, or maybe it needs to be someplace else, and see how the light hits it. And if you're going to be in this side of the house at this time of day, maybe you want to change your thoughts and add a window instead, or something. So I would think let the house tell you a little bit and kind of go with the flow of what's happening there.
I love that. And I think that also carries over in just decorating. What you had in one house isn't necessarily going to fly in an energy way or in a decorative way in your next house.
So true. Yeah. Our former house was a storybook style, and so adorable. I mean, it was a really lovely house. I mean, you could have definitely sort of conjured up seven little dwarves coming out, but it was, it was very a cottage garden, all different, pretty colors, and the inside had a lot of color. I really like color, but this house, and I think maybe, the fact that every time I came here, it was also just so chaotic, and it was, after the house showings, the inside started to sort of look a little bit more like the garage that I told you about. So, each time I would come, there would be more things, and really, I love old things and obviously, and going to the Rose Bowl and digging through boxes and all the time, but I'm talking about like garbage and junk, like, Sanford and Sons, if anybody's old enough to remember that show, that's literally what the backyard looked like. Crazy. So I don't know if it was that, and the fact that the house is flower yellow, like saffron, and tall. It's not a particularly large footprint, but the house is very tall. It's three stories. So that was just a heck of a lot of yellow. And he had colored glass. I mean, there's a lot going on. So my thought for this house was the absence of a lot of color. So in fact, as I'm sitting here, the house is getting like the last little bits of white paint put on the outside. We did not paint the house ourselves. We're doing a lot ourselves, but in no way were we going to fall off ladders on a house three stories high. So we did a white and black palette outside, and the inside is very neutral, which I'm finding to be so peaceful. I mean, last night, my mom is coming in a couple of days, and so I started to put things out. Before that, I really couldn't even put anything out, because you'd put something out, and if you lifted up a vase or something, there was a dust ring around it. There was just too much dust flying around everywhere. So everything's been pretty much boxed up. So I started to put a few little things out, and it's just feeling so fresh and nice and clean and calming. So I really think that this was the good choice for here. Mm-hmm. So my palette is really whites and creams and pops of black and some muted gold and silver. And I'm really enjoying it so far.
Oh, nice. And I just want to remind listeners that Kelly's blog, mysoulfulhome.com, she chronicles or journals about this process, so you can follow along with this. And she has tons of decorating tips and advice, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But I just want to let listeners know about that, mysoulfulhome.com. She also has an app, behome.us, which we'll talk about as well. I want to go back a little bit, and you're an attorney. Do you still practice law?
No, I don't. We moved to California about 11 years ago, and I thought I would go take the California bar after I had practiced in New York for 15 years, and I really enjoyed it. But we moved here with no family and two little girls, and I just needed to start a new life. So all of a sudden I was, you know, running the school fair, and I was a Girl Scout leader. So I think I put all my type A trial attorney energies into working for free. And I really, 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 really enjoyed it a lot. And, you know, made wonderful friends, and I'm glad I went that route. That worked out nicely. And I definitely had, you know, my law school, hard work and days had definitely paid off. I mean, I worked for 15 years as an attorney, so it wasn't kind of a blip on the screen. So new chapters.
High five on that. I think I was maybe 12 years. So when did you realize that you have a connection with homes and also enough to start an entire blog around homes?
Well, it's always been a passion of mine, even when I was little. And I mean, you know, you hear a lot of bloggers saying that, like, oh, my mom let me decorate my room and all that. And my mom did. And I would decorate the spaces and my dollhouse and all kinds of stuff like that. But I think on a deeper level, I think I saw at some point, I'm sure not when I was a little girl, but later on, that if you had your home, you know, the way you wanted it to be and a place that made you feel good when you went there, that gave you so much more confidence and a positive attitude and a place to sort of decompress, like a sanctuary from the rest of the world. Not that anything was particularly awful going on, but just, I mean, life is sort of chaotic, particularly when I was working as a trial attorney. You know, that was not like, you know, every day, all day long, it's adversarial. I mean, that's just the nature of the game. So I think at some point, and I could not pinpoint for you when, but early on, I think it was probably during college when I was, you know, sort of obsessing about getting my dorm room just the way I wanted it. And then I kind of realized, you know, it wasn't so much about whether that poster was, you know, exactly over the bed or whether, you know, I had, you know, a fresh flower somewhere stuck in a little vase. It was that, you know, after studying all day, when you came back to that, it made me feel peaceful. And so I think that has stuck with me. And, you know, sometimes you can get crazy over the exact right white pink color or something like that. But I think the overall sense for me is that your home is a sanctuary for you. And it doesn't necessarily have to be on trend, and it doesn't have to be, you know, so design oriented that it's not comfortable. It should be a comfortable, welcoming place for you. And that's always been really important to me. So I've worked hard wherever we've landed or chosen to move to sort of make each place reflective of first me and then my husband and I and now my family.
Nice.
And that's really important to me. And so, and then it's really also super fun. And I love to write. And the blog came out of those two combined passions, if you will. And I got to learn how to take photographs, which I've always wanted to do and never made the time to do. So I have a lot to learn, but my photography has definitely improved a lot since I started, and I enjoy it tremendously.
Yeah, you kind of, everyone, it's like you have to be a photographer these days with if you own your own business.
Oh.
By the way, I have a fabulous Instagram account, My Soulful Home on Instagram, so to definitely follow that and see her great photography. You do great photos. You have a really nice
book. Thank you. Thank you.
Going back to what you're saying about your college days, I remember when I was a kid, like, I remember even as young as like elementary school, where I would rearrange my room and, oh my gosh, it felt so good. Did you do that?
Oh yeah. My mom would hear that. She's like, oh yeah, don't scrape the floor. She's moving the furniture again. Yeah.
Yeah. There was just this like immediate freshness that it gave.
Yes.
I still tell people to do that. It's like, even if it's not like the perfect feng shui arrangement, just every now and then, let's rearrange your room. And it's like, it's like actually a very effective space clearing tool to get the energy.
Oh, I think it's a really great thing to do. In fact, I have not too many because I'm doing so many things, but I have a few private clients that I work with on design. And what I like to do is work with what you have, because everybody has so much stuff. You might not have as much stuff as the guy who lived here before, but everybody has plenty of stuff. I mean, I realized when I moved, like, I mean, I didn't think I could have one more vase, but yeah, sure enough, I'd find another one tucked away in a closet somewhere. Just everybody has so many things. So not only getting rid of the stuff that you for sure not going to use, but then sort of just incorporating what you have into a new look, which definitely involves even just moving your furniture. So without buying one new thing, you're able to completely change your look and your perspective on the room. And it can be, you know, really changing as far as the way you use the space or the way you feel about the space. I think it's a great exercise for people to do.
Yeah. So speaking of when it comes to decorating and design, what tools do you use? Like, do you use Pinterest boards, or do you actually make up some design boards with like magazines and stuff, or what is your process?
Well, when I was doing this house, which was probably my most intense period of time, is design, curating a look, because it lasted, you know, a really long time. So I had plenty of time to get ready. You know, sometimes with a client, you know, a couple of weeks when you're doing something, on a time crunch. So old school, pulling stuff out of magazines. I am famous for dog earring magazines. Then I let it sit. Then I kind of go back and I go through again. And it's interesting when you look again, you're like, why did I even think that was good the first time? So I don't pull out, I dog ear, and then I pull out. You know, you try to minimize your paper clutter. And I certainly use Pinterest. I mean, I use it professionally for my blog, you know, every day, sort of all day long. But for myself, I have a Pinterest board on it's called My Soulful Home Ideas, and it is really all about the feel. Not necessarily, you know, every stick of furniture or, you know, every look down to the last, you know, little Trotsky on the coffee table, but the general look of what I wanted for this house. And it really helped me tremendously to stay focused over that period of time, because there's just so much out in the world, and you might go somewhere and you see something and you're, oh, that would be great. Oh, that, you know, oh, that fuzzy chair or that pillow, or, you know, or that pop of red, which I really wanted to get. Not that red's bad. I love red. I have red hair, but I didn't want red in my house anymore. So sometimes I would just come back and I would get a glass of wine usually, or maybe a cup of tea if it was early in the day, and just look at my board and remind myself of really where I wanted to go with the house. And I had a really robust board before I bought anything, and I didn't buy very much in advance, because you just never know whether or not you're gonna have the room look the way you think until you actually get there. So I found that was really helpful. And I snap picture. I'm on Instagram a lot too. And I'll, like, if I see something, I'll screenshot a picture of it. And so I have a whole little file on my phone of things that I like. It's so easy now to be inspired, all day long. And that's one of the things that I love about being a blogger, because I can't, well, you know, obviously I've met you through blogging, and all the women that I have met, and a couple of men who are in my blogging niche, if you will, it's just unbelievable, the creativity that's out there, the kindness, and the inspiration, and what all these people can accomplish, you know, it's amazing. And, you know, a lot of them are holding down regular jobs, or, you know, they have a lot more kids than I do, or, you know, the other things going on in their lives, but there they are, you know, refinishing furniture and doing, you know, redoing rooms and making pillows and cooking up recipes. And I find it really just like a wonderful space to be in. It's such a positive environment.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you're such a great practical Capricorn. you could just listening to you talk like that kind of stuff. I can get overwhelmed so quickly and easily. And I know a lot of people do in the digital world of like so much inspiration and ideas. How do you, how do you like make it practical and applicable? I think you already kind of just told us, but.
Right. How do you sort of boil it down for you? Well, I think first you have to really, whether you're talking about renovating a house or, you know, decorating for Christmas, you know, whatever. I mean, all these deep things I'm talking about. But, you know, I mean, your house is really so important and how you feel in your house is so very important. And I don't think it can be minimized. I mean, that's where you're spending so much of your time and that's where you're living your life and raising your family. So it is worth taking the time to figure out what works for you. I mean, I can't believe some people just like get a designer and have them come in and like do their whole house. I could never live with that. I mean, I love helping people, but it's got to be about the person, you know. I can't imagine that thing where they open the door and there's your house. You're like, oh, okay, this is now my house. I'll snap myself into my house. Your house, you know, you need to build it literally around you and how you function. So I think you have to really start with yourself and whoever's going to live there with you and figure out, you know, do you have the same needs? Do you have the same aesthetic? And then you can sort of filter the world. I think that's kind of what I was saying about that Pinterest board that I had, because it would sort of bring me back to what I was, my goal was, what I thought was going to work. And, easier, I think, for me too, because my husband is very supportive and very nice about everything that I do and, you know, really my biggest cheerleader. But he also has really no opinions other than he's very good with furniture placement, which maybe he's got a little bit of what you do and you specialize in. He might just have that innately. He's very good with that. But otherwise, he would never say, oh, no, that's going to be oatmeal Belgian linen. You know, we really need to go with a steely gray. You know, like that's never come out of his mouth. So other people I know have to deal with that sort of element, you know, people with other opinions, which is not that so you have to take that into consideration too and find a happy medium and then go from there. And then I think you can sort of, then you've curated so much of the world already for yourself. And so now, you know, you're looking for this sort of look and this sort of feel, and then some of the other stuff can fall to the wayside.
Nice. Yeah.
It's a rabbit hole, you know, it's a beautiful rabbit hole that you can fall into there in all the blogs and Pinterest and Instagram.
Yeah, so what I hear you saying is let yourself lose yourself in it, because it's very important, but it has also have a touchstone of what your values and what's most important to you from a aesthetic point of view, and to have a spouse partner who doesn't give their opinion too much.
Exactly. If you can find that, you're really doing well. Excellent.
No, it sounds like you both like realize what your strengths are and let each of you do that. And that's really what it's all about.
Oh, it's so funny. Yeah, it's so funny because we have, you know, we've had obviously, you know, I mean, Peter's not handy. Okay, that's not obvious. But, you know, lawyers, he's a former lawyer too. And we're traditionally not handy. I actually am handy because I have taken the time to teach myself, but I'm not going to, you know, remove galvanized plumbing and put in, you know, copper pipes. And, you know, we had to hire people to do things like that. And it was always me dealing with all these guys. And one tradesman who was very nice, and he was just like, and he was kind of looking around like either side of me. And he was like, does your husband want to, you know, kind of ring in on this? I was like, no. Like, why? This is not, and, you know, Peter happened to be sort of walking past, and he said, oh, no, we've got this down. You know, 23 years, it's a division of labor. You talk to her. don't need to get involved. I'm doing something else.
Oh,
so that's, you know, I'm fortunate in that, but, you know, other than, you know, other people have, you know, partners in life that can hang things on the wall and stuff, so I don't have that.
Oh, all right. So for folks, like if someone's getting ready to take on a home project, whether it's a renovation or or whatever the case is, but let's just say it's a renovation. Like, I know mm-hmm. myself, it's so overwhelming for me. But what's your best piece of advice for someone about to take on something like that?
Okay, so I have a few pieces of advice probably, but my best one is if you're going to purchase any home, whether it's an older home or a new home, get all the inspections that you feel that you need to have. There are a lot of things that you can find out early on, and you're entitled to find out early on, just so you know what you're up against. You know, everybody has heard about the money pit. Well, you know, this house is 129 years old, and we have really had only one surprise, and it really wasn't even that bad. And the surprise was the way the water drained to the backyard, and we needed to do a little bit more of leveling. But we did all our homework, had a lot of inspections, and it really pays off. And even if I think I would have bought this house, even if they told me, you know, next time, you know, there's somebody sneezes, it's going to fall over, because I was that vested in the house at that point. But, you know, at least I would have had my eyes wide open. A number one, find out everything that you can about the house. And then if you are already in a house, then, you know, you've cut that out, you're already there. Or the second step in purchasing a new home is have a solid plan. You're going to spend a lot more money if you decide to start changing things. So really, even if it means living in a situation that is not great for yourself or your family for a few months, I mean, we lived for 6.5 months with no kitchen, two kids, a dog, four people. We had one tiny little old man bathroom that I wore flip-flops in, you know, and we were doing other things to improve the house, that, you know, really structural things that needed to be done because it was so old. But that also gave me the time to know what was going to be right. And, you know, we didn't take a lot of walls down. We didn't do a lot of extra things that maybe I had conjured up, you know, in all those plans in the, you know, 3 a.m. in the morning when I'm thinking about how I was going to fix the house. So that time was really important, and it wasn't easy, but, you know, heck, it's, you know, a fixed period of time. And then, you know, going forward, that you're making the best decision based on how you're going to live in the house. So yeah. Get all the inspections that you can, and have a design plan and aesthetic in your head, and stick to it. And
nice.
Because that will save you money, and that will help you focus and curate out all the stuff that is not within your focus.
You know, I always tell clients and whoever I'm talking to about, you know, mm-hmm. your home, it really is a journey and not a destination. Like, you will never be finished with your home. Your home will never be perfect. And because it's yeah. actually a reflection of yourself, and we are never finished or never perfect. So it's an ongoing journey.
Right.
And it's so much about trying to enjoy that journey as much as possible, even when it is the one bathroom. And gosh, you guys are going to look back one day and just realize how precious that time was. So mm-hmm.
I'm so proud of my kids, because, you know, at Christmas time, we've never had, there's really nothing wrong with a fake tree, but we just never had one. And we just couldn't get a regular tree in here with all the boxes. I mean, literally the living room just had everything in it. So we had this one little sad tree. And a couple of days before, whatever, somehow we had like a utility sink with running water, and that was sort of accidentally turned off by the plumber. We only had a hose for like 3 days during Christmas. It was the craziest thing. So, you know, I joke now. I mean, of course they, you know, they got other nice things for Christmas, but I was like, this is great. I mean, the girls got running water for Christmas. It's like, that is really great. I think that's, they can look back on 2016 and be like, wow, we were really grateful, like, for the basics. So it was good all the way around. And I just have one more thought. You know, when it's your house, and it is your house, choose colors and elements and fabrics and things that make you feel good. It doesn't have to be, you know, Pinterest-worthy or on trend or anything like that. It has to be what makes you feel good. I mean, what's really nice, I think, about a lot of what's popular now is because so much of it is really classic and timeless. You know, the farmhouse look, I mean, I don't like to go hard on any look. I'm much more eclectic than that. I like a lot of different things, and I think that that I like the way that works together in a room. But the farmhouse elements, you know, the farmhouse sink, or you know, all the other sort of natural woody elements and things that are really popular now, you're not going to go wrong with incorporating them in sort of any style. So that's kind of an easy way to decorate right now. And I think it will last. You know, it's like the white pedestal sink. It's never going to go out. You know,
right.
It's always going to be in fashion. You know, the white farmhouse sink, you know, super, super distressed, you know, cabinets, maybe somebody would be like, oh, you know, you can date that, or, you know, certain things, you know, we see from when we grew up, or, oh, you know, what decade that was from. I don't think that's happening so much with what's really popular now. So it's, mm-hmm. in that sense, it's a really nice time to be decorating or doing some major changes, because I don't think you can really go wrong. And you can feel, you know, feel like you're sort of on the trend, if that's important. But you
nice.
Should make your house make you feel good when you walk in the door.
Yeah, you know, that's my definition of feng shui. So it's like is creating a space that you love and supports you. To me, that's the best feng shui you can have. So we're right on track on that one.
Mm-hmm.
So I gotta go to the deep end real quick. And so
okay.
My book, Mind, Body, Home, pretty much was inspired, like I said, by my renovation. And during that time, as I was renovating my house, I myself went through a complete renovation and started to see the correlations between the plumbing and our emotions and the electricity in our nervous system and everything. And so, you know, you have got to have had some kind of major transformation yourself personally through this time. Is there anything you would... Can you see that, or do you still need some hindsight?
Well, yeah, you know, now I can sort of, you know, if you had asked me even a month ago, I don't know, because everything was still sort of swirling around. But now I can look back and say I am definitely, and this was, you know, I was sort of forced into it, but I am definitely a much more patient person with myself and life in general, because I had no control over really whether he was going to sell us his house at the end of the day or whether or not he was really ever going to get out of here. In fact, he had three more loads, including a car that didn't drive, to take after we moved in. And so I just had to really put myself a little bit on the back burner, even though this was all about, you know, us getting into this house and about my family and, you know, we need to get on with our lives and respect what this man was going through. Even though it got to the point where it was, you know, sort of unfair how he was dragging it out and what was happening, but he couldn't help it, and so I had to really learn a lot of patience and not just sort of, we'll give you another, you know, 90 days. I couldn't lawyer him down. I couldn't say, you know, this is the last day. Because I'm not
right.
sure that we would have gotten the house. I don't know what would have happened if we had really pushed him. So it was just, you know, it was a perfect combination. My real estate agent was wonderful. My husband's very chill. I'm usually more the one that's like, ah! And so I had to stop, you know, not do that and sort of wait and be on his time schedule, which was, you know, nothing I'd ever experienced before. And get comfortable with that whole process. And I think also it really reinforced for me what a home means to humans in general, not even myself, because I saw, even though the way the house was kept and taken care of or not taken care of and all the stuff, these walls were so important to him. And it was a letting go of marriage that failed in this house, apparently. He still had the crib in one of the rooms for his son, who's 45, with the little stuffed animals still in it. It was not being able to let go. And watching all of that, it was really interesting to see, you know, how a place, a home, can affect somebody, either positively or negatively. And the final thing that I think was one of the bigger lessons that I learned is about stuff, which, again, is, you know, right up your alley, stuff or lack of stuff. What having too much stuff can do to someone. Because here was this man in his golden years, you know, his bonus years, you know, going through coffee cans of rusty nails and spending all of this time, months and months and months, going out in the backyard and going through all this stuff and then carting it up and dragging it somewhere and paying to have it stored. It was really an eye-opener to watch that. And you almost didn't want to have anything after watching
right.
that. You just wanted to be like a turtle. I have my shell, you know, and I'm done. That's it. You know, of course, I'm very anxious to get all my boxes out and my stuff, because my stuff is, of course, very important. But, you know, everybody's stuff is important to them. But too much stuff
yeah.
and too much investing too much in the stuff is very yeah. unhealthy.
Yes. I actually find this the case actually more with men than women. They really, even more, I mean, we all do it as humans, but men tend to place even more of their emotional attachment into things, and they have a harder time getting rid of things than women. It's a very general.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, women can process their emotions easier, and so they can let things go easier. Men really struggle much, much more with that. All right. So, gosh, Kelly, this has been so fun. Thank you for sharing these experiences with us. And it's inspirational and informative. And again, Kelly's blog is mysoulfulhome.com. You can go there and subscribe. And she has amazing, like, very practical decorating tips. Is really, I mean, really, we haven't even really touched on that, but it's really, I think, probably your strong suit. And even recipes, gardening, like just so many fun things. And then you have an app you can access it through the website behome.us. Can you tell us about your app?
Yes, I'm really excited to share that with you. My app is called Be Home, and it's a growing, curated community of home and garden bloggers, you know, just sort of friends of mine that I have met along the way in my blogging journey or career. And it is, you know, really your home on mobile, and you can visit all the blogs, their Instagram feed, their Pinterest feed, their Twitter is all in one place. You can choose people to follow, or you can just scroll through and enjoy, you know, sort of the blog posts of the day and what's being pinned by these various very talented, it's actually one man, and right now we're about 49 women and one man, so about 50 blogs. You can join in a chat, you can message. A great tool on the app is to search. So it's kind of like you're talking about how do you get through everything that's out there? Well, these really are some of the best bloggers in the home and garden niche. And I can't believe I was so fortunate when I started blogging to have made these friendships with these people. And when we developed the app, my husband is a software developer. And so it was kind of, you know, over dinner one night, he was making an app for a particular community. And I said, hey, you know, wouldn't it be fun to make an app for my blogger friends and I, and, you know, just see what's going on. And we have so many users right now. It's very, really vibrant community. And so everything that the bloggers create each day is in real time put up on the app. And we just started something this past weekend where we're also doing an email. So the best of Be Home, it'll go out on Friday nights. And so hopefully people's emails over the weekend where they can enjoy, you know, five or six blog posts, get introduced to a new blogger, you know, on Instagram or Pinterest. So that's something you can subscribe to if you go to the website as well, behome.us. And it's just been a really wonderful way to connect with our readership and in a different way. I mean, all of us as bloggers get questions all the time. I mean, my blog post on boxwoods must be, because it's springtime and whatnot, I'm getting questions like every day about, you know, can you tell me exactly how I'm supposed to do this, or which box would you have, or which one doesn't smell funny, or, you know, all of a sudden we all get questions all the time, whether it's design questions or garden or recipe questions. So here's another way to connect through the app. And so I think everybody on there is really enjoying it, and we're adding new bloggers all the time. I say curated just because it's, you know, it is, we want it to be beautiful, but we, it's not exclusive. So if we, it's just Peter and I doing, you know, doing the tech of it. So it takes a little while, and we like to make sort of a big deal when a blogger joins. They usually do a giveaway or something like that, and they announce it on their blog. So we're doing, adding bloggers like once a week, once every 2 weeks. So there's always somebody new on there. So I think everybody might, you might enjoy it. And if you're waiting in line at the bank, or you're waiting for your kid's soccer game, or you just got some downtime and your phone's in your hand, it's a really beautiful place to visit and get inspired and, you know, exposed to some new ideas. So, you know, I would definitely encourage everybody to pop on and just see what it's about. It's free, and it's Android and iPhone. And you can also add it to your iPad. You just have to search it as an iPhone app, and you can add it to your iPad. So it's really pretty on the iPad because, you know, obviously it's bigger.
Awesome. That's I love that. That's, what a great idea. That's fabulous. And you also work one-on-one with people with decorating, which I would think that would be a fabulous thing to do, because you really do take the overwhelm out of things. You have a very practical approach and yet have a real aesthetic sense. And also taking in the mind, the person's personal aesthetic, in addition to the home's soul. So you really have the whole package.
Thank you. That's so nice. Yeah, I really enjoy that. I love, you know, I love connecting with, you know, my readers. I love it when someone sends me, you know, an email or a comment. And I always try to, if it's a specific question, I try to, you know, if they, I say, oh, I hope you don't mind, I responded to you an email, because I love that connection. So it is really nice to have, you know, a few clients. I do both garden and interior work with some private clients. And I do really enjoy that part, because you can sit behind the computer, you know, just for so long. I got to get out there and get active. So, definitely adding that along the way was a good idea.
Nice. Well, thank you so much. And I'm going to on air invite myself to your house sometime. I cannot wait to see it. And
I would love it. And I have been spraying your spray. I am here to tell you that it works.
Awesome. Yes. I know. When we talked in person, all I could wanted to do was come spray down your house. Face clearing.
Oh, it's fantastic. It really is. It just, I'm doing it after I sort of, you know, clear out a room and it's all ready to roll. And then before I do anything as far as, you know, this last finishing touches, I go and spray. And it just feels really good. And it smells so great. I love it.
Awesome. All right. Well, mysoulfulhome.com. Thank you so much, Kelly. And
thank you. I enjoyed this tremendously. What a wonderful part of my day. I hope that everybody enjoyed it as much as I did.
Me too. All right. You take care.
And thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks again.
All right. That concludes today's podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. I'll be up in June with another guest to be announced. And looking forward to, up in August, I have Karen Rausch Cowder, the best-selling author of Move Your Stuff and Change Your Life. And so thank you so much for joining me, and we will see you soon. Thank you.